Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. This is Strength to Be Human. I'm your host, Mark Anthony Rossi. We're continuing on with the Writing is Fire series, and this is episode 51, What is Short Fiction? Now, in this episode, I'm going to cover both flash fiction and short fiction. I know there's microfiction out there. It's the newest of them all. I'm really not sure what real conclusion I've come to that yet. So I'm just going to talk about flash fiction and short fiction right now, because at least those are things that I'm very well familiar with. I've worked with them for a long time, published a lot, even an entire book of short fiction and short and flash fiction, like a sort of a best of from last like 20 something years, put together a project. So I have a lot to say about it, and I know a great deal. So let's dive right into it, okay? Now, what is short fiction? Basically, short fiction is somewhere between like maybe 500 to 1,500 words. Basically, a short fiction is not a short story. It's not only smaller, but it comes to the point faster. It often doesn't have a lot of characterization or even dialogue into it. And it tends to be just about one subject or one point, although you can mix a few things into it, don't get me wrong. You know, but it doesn't go on that long. And that's really the case on to get what you have to say, get it over with. Some people incorporate different elements in it to make it their own special style. I like to put more poetic flashes into it. You know, things like alliteration, maybe even some rhyme. I like to throw out different thoughts, but then other times I just have it on one subject and kind of go with that. Even though Edgar Allan Poe doesn't get credit for it, because he gets credit for creating a science fiction story and the first detective story and so many other amazing things, but if you read some of his what they call short stories, I mean, there's a couple there, including the Telltale Heart, that they fit the short fiction category to a T. They really do. So something to consider, that even he, on some of his shorter works, was experimenting in his own way. But if you read that, you almost read something that, you know, I feel comes out of a short fiction a genre of modern day. It really does read that way. And that's just a testament to, you know, his vision and, you know, and the intensity of what he was trying to do. Now, some people ask, hey, Mark, why don't you accept short stories? Well, I don't accept short stories because I'm really not looking for 5 to 10,000 words for something. This is the whole point of my online journal, Aerial Chart, is to get the shorter works out there, the ones that have been ignored. And I am a big proponent of flash and short fiction. I write it, I publish it, you know, I get published with it. So I find it an important genre out there that needs to be, you know, continually tinkered with and worked on and explored. Short story has been done for literally hundreds of years. So it's not like, you know, the next short story that you decide to write, is going to make or break that category. It's been done. So it's good to do something new, something that comes from my generation of writing, that I feel right in there with. And it's funny because, you know, I write plays and I write poems. And yeah, I have some different stylizations on my poetry than someone else. But quite frankly, it's really the short fiction for me where I feel that I've invested the most innovation, the most unique stylings of things. And the most, I feel it's the most comfortable to me because it belongs most to me, because it's in my writing generation. You know, poetry is not in my writing generation. It's thousands of years old. Not just, you know, the short story is a couple hundred years old. easily. A drama also thousands of years old. So even though I work in those other forms and I do different things in them and I'm happy about it and I get published and I get produced, it's not really the same. Short fiction to me has a very special place because it is so new and so modern, yet it does have a very important impact. So let's talk a little bit about that, okay? Now, other than the size of the short fiction or the flash fiction piece, flash fiction pieces are normally somewhere like in the range of like 250 to maybe like 600 words, something like that. These are not concrete rules, folks. Generally, they have some sense to them. I mean, you write something that's 4,000 words, you can't call it short fiction. No one's going to take you that seriously. So there is a certain size to it because the whole point of short fiction or flash fiction is that word, indicating that it's something shorter than a short story. So that is really one of the ways you can tell, and that's what you're doing, and that's how you know that it is that. And it's important because it's in that type of brevity that you get the most interesting things coming out. Oftentimes, people can do what they call those vignettes, which is like, you know, you're operating just on one idea or one feeling or one emotion or, you know, one nightmare or whatever. But just one, and they just, you know, just work it through that whole piece. Just that one that they call flash fiction, that one flash of a thought or a scene or, you know, an idea or just a momentary glimpse. It makes it very special because it feels often poetic because it has that kind of brevity. But of course, you know, you're not going to have too many 600 word poems. I mean, it's hard to even get poems published beyond 100 lines. There's only a few places that even publish those. So you're not going to get that. And even with a flash fiction. So it's a longer piece of a work. The key thing is that you're being consistent in what you're trying to say and you're moving it forward. Almost like a play in the sense that it has a certain gravity to it, a certain emotion, a certain type of action that's going on in it. Because if you don't do that, either in the flash fiction or the short fiction, you're liable to have something that's pretty much a prose poem. And believe it or not, some micro fictions look like these prose poems. That's why they can be a little confusing. And I've seen some flash fictions that could be categorized that just because I feel the writer hasn't really explored enough. They kind of let it fall flat and it winds up becoming a prose poem. And believe it or not, if you don't do enough for that and you submit it, even though you might call it a false flash fiction, somebody else can pick it up after you submit it and say, no, we think it's a prose poem. And then you got to make a decision. Do I want this thing published that way? Or do I want to go back and rework it another way? Or maybe I just want to resubmit it again. Maybe somebody else will see what I see. But I'm telling you, if they see a prose poem, you failed on a few elements there to make it happen. Now, the flash fiction, even though it's much shorter than the short fiction, it does have, I feel, a greater impact. It has a real punch and a real pull to it. I remember writing a story that got published called Harry Stole a Tomato. And it was just a piece about, you know, in the city and different generational groups lacking respect for each other and then trying to find their way back, you know, in the midst of a type of fight between an older fellow, like a senior citizen, and just some younger kids. And if you see the way they both acted like kids. No one acted, you know, what I would call reasonable or within any kind of constraints. They both acted like a bunch of fools. No matter if this guy was 70, you know, no matter if the kid was 14, you know, you couldn't tell the difference other than the wrinkles. So they're both acting like jerks. And that was good. It worked out good for the story. It was able to propel it, move it forward, and make an important point. And that's what that thing does. That's what a good flash fiction piece will do. You do it under like 600 or 700 words. And that piece, zero dialogue, some characterization, but, you know, quite minor. You know, because you know what's going on, but, you know the guy's name, Harry, but you don't even know the kid's names. You, I mean, it's there's a lot of things that are missing out of there on purpose because they're not that important. But it does have what you might want to call, you know, in an unorthodox type of way, a beginning and an end. I'm not really sure if it has a middle, but you could call something in there a middle if you want, but it's not purposely done that way. But it is important that any flash or short fiction piece have a strong beginning and a strong end. It's not a short story, so you don't really have to have a middle. That's one of the, you might want to call, artistic advantages of it. But you got to have those two bookends, so to speak, and then kind of go from there. Sometimes people write those things out first and then go try to fix the middle and make something wonderful out of it. That's fine, however you want to do it. But it really has to have an important end, beginning that brings you in, and it has to have an ending with some closure that makes some sense. Even if your ending is closure, but not really closure, meaning that you feel that not everything was answered, or it kind of left it out in the open somewhere, but it still kind of closes it, that's fine too. As long as you don't get over mysterious, so you don't want to get carried away. But you got to have those two things. Now, the traditional world, for years now, before they started accepting more of this, especially in the academic literary communities, they used to never even give this much thought. Oh, it's dumb. It's urban. I love how every time an academic doesn't understand something, it's urban. That's lovely. No, they're not big at it. Or, of course, my favorite one was they're only doing this because they don't really want to write a short story, or they don't really understand the techniques of a short story, or, you know, they're just not good enough writers to write a short story, whatever. It's all nonsense, okay? Just because people don't want to write Shakespearean sonnets doesn't mean they can't write. They're just not interested in a form that they can't really find any modern relevance to. If you can't become part of that genre, if you can't become part of it, if you can't find something you can invest yourself into it, you're not going to pull it off. It won't be relevant. You're not going to care. What's the point? Nothing's wrong with Shakespearean sonnet, but I'm not interested in writing it. I wasn't interested 35 years ago. I guarantee you 35 years later, I'm still not interested. Nothing wrong with it. It's just not right for me in my times. I don't feel I can get anything out of it other than a bunch of blah, blah rhymes. Who cares? It just doesn't appeal to me. Neither does a short story. And I've read some wonderful ones. Love the ones from O. Henry. Love Shelley Jackson, you know, The Lottery. My God, what an incredible story. Edgar Allan Poe, of course. There's a number of short stories that are masterpieces and that are wonderful. But I've never been interested in writing those traditional type of short stories. I don't think that way. I don't like the characterizations of that. I'd rather save that for my drama, actually. And I don't really feel that the things I want to express or talk about, I can do inside of that. You know, it's kind of like a 7-foot-and-a-half man, you know, wanting to jump into a Yugo. I mean, it's not going to happen. The dude can't even barely fit in there. How's he going to drive it successfully? How's he going to be comfortable? How's he going to be safe? It's the same thing. You have to get inside these genres. If you don't feel you fit, if you don't feel it's made enough for you to get in there and do something with it, you're going to crash and burn, and you'll deserve it because you shouldn't have been in it in the first place. And that's why some of those older forms, wonderful, great stuff. Do they stand the test of time? Some of the masterpieces certainly do. Even some of the lesser pieces certainly do. But even when you're reading them, you're reading something that you know it's older. It's out of the element over here. It doesn't reflect the world we have now, full of computers and internet and email and digital chips and, you know, processors and microphones and smartphones and it doesn't fit any of that sort of stuff anymore. We're living in an entirely different reality and environment. And and other people can be this way. They might be interested in nostalgia, and they want to write that way. I'm not against it. Go for it if that's what you want to do. Just remember the consequences. There is not even a lot of magazines that will print short stories. And when they do, they want you to somehow grab that short story and modernize it somehow. That really takes a lot of work and a lot of devotion. And you're only going to have a small portion of them out there Because guess what? People have realized the modern impact and the modern relevance of flash fiction and short fiction. It now, where 25 years ago it was a minority, and it's now the majority of magazines. You don't get too many that take short stories anymore. I'm telling you, for every 10 markets you look at, you'll look, you'll find one that actually accepts anything, you know, beyond a couple thousand words. There aren't too many that do. And that's fine with me, because I'm not vested in that form anyway, and maybe that is a certain justice to it all, because I mean I would find it a great detriment for me and many other writers if half the magazines out there are taking these long short stories and I'm all doing something different. It should be the way the market is. The more people are doing what I'm doing and less people are doing those stories, so therefore in the markets and the marketplace, so to speak, should reflect that. That's only reality. You shouldn't artificially make something big and wonderful just because it was, you know, it was the big thing 150 years ago. Great, but it doesn't really fit today. Now, keep in mind, when you do submit either the flash fiction or the short fiction, that, you know, you pretty much have down what you believe that it is. And get down to that definition as much as you're able to. Sometimes, though, the common definition, the definition that's out there, your definition, and the guidelines definition, they could all be the same. I mean, I've seen people say flash fiction is no more than 500 words. I've seen people say it goes to 600. I've seen some people have it that they have flash fiction to 750, and then 750 to 1500. They got a short fiction, and an ending after that is considered a short story. So we don't all seem to agree on the exact numbers. But what I do understand, and what you should definitely understand, is short fiction, flash fiction, you don't have the same liberties as you do with a poem. I'm telling you, if they say that we don't want a poem that's longer than 25 lines, and you accidentally give them something that's 25 and a half lines, if they like it, they're going to accept it anyway. They're not going to give you a hard time about it. It's pretty close to the mark. I find that's not the same case with shorter or flash fiction. I'm telling you, if they tell you, we consider flash fiction 500 words, that's what they want. If you give them 510 words, you will be rejected. So they don't want to hear that. Some of them actually make you count it and write it in, you know, into the top of the page there before you submit it in there. Some have forms where you have to literally write it in there, especially in the places like Submittable. They literally have an area. This is how many words it is, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you really have to be cognizant of that. And sometimes what you had interpreted to be the length of a flash fiction might be different in a place that you're trying to submit to. It might be different enough that you might not be able to submit it. So don't waste your time, you know, breaking rules and getting people upset. Unless you do, which is, you know, it's perfectly normal to do. You can email the place. Hey, it was under my impression that short fiction is this length. You seem to have it a little shorter. Mine's about, I don't know, 62 words longer than yours. Will you still consider it, or are you just really going to stick to that? No one says you can't ask that. As long as you ask it professionally, not trying to be smart alecky, you don't try to be snarky, okay? I'm trying to jump the shark over here, all right? Just matter of fact, professionally, you know, maybe you might get a good response, maybe not. But it can't hurt, rather than, you know, wasting anybody's time and you know, breaking some rule and, you know, getting somebody upset in the whole process. But just keep those things in mind. Of course, some of the basic things about short fiction submission is no different than poetry or drama, like we talked about already. Obviously, you don't want to send something that's out of the theme or out of the project that they have. We're only doing women's stuff this quarter. You know, sending something that barely has anything to do with a woman is not a good idea. Okay, but along the lines of themes and stuff, okay, it's very well possible that when you write a short or a flash fiction that lacks a lot of the dramatization and dialogue and everything, you could have something that approximates that theme that could possibly fit in there. It could be, you know, slight enough or vague enough or, you know, ambiguous enough that maybe it can be thought of as something. And there's nothing wrong with sending something like that and giving it a chance. As long as it's not completely out of it, it's worth giving it a shot. That's all I'm saying about that. But the things, the hard, fast things on the gender and the sexual orientation, or maybe they have a handicap thing or a religious thing or whatever, I mean, it's going to be harder to be vague about something like that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, how do you get vague and they still think it's a gay flash fiction piece? I'm not really sure about that. But there's some opportunities along some of these themes, and even along with some of the things they ask for, that you can look for and possibly do. I've been published a few times just because, again, the guidelines seem kind of vague. Even the numbers seem kind of vague. You ask or you don't ask, give it a shot if you think you're close enough or whatever, and you know, just go for it then. But just keep in mind, you don't want to harm yourself or clog up the process for these folks you know, you're trying to ram something through. That you definitely want to be careful about, okay? Now, there's a lot I find with flash fiction and short fiction that you might be able to get away with more than you could get away with a traditional short story. I'm telling you, I don't care how good you are writing a short story, how excellent your dialogue could be, and how modern the whole thing could be. It's actually hard to get away with a swear word, even in a short story. It just seems out of place because of so many we read of such masters. They didn't do something like that. There is no such thing. So it just sounds like it didn't fit it, where it sounds like it fits more. You know, in a flash fiction or a short fiction piece, you know, you might be able to get away with a GD or a SOB or maybe a one or two curses to make a dramatic impact that you couldn't get away with a short story because it just sounds, you know, like you just threw it in there for effect. The shorter fictions, it almost seems like it belongs there. It's warranted. As long as you don't get carried away and do it for just some uselessness, then you can actually get something out of it. I've done it a few times, I guess what you would want to call on a strategic basis, because I'm not a big profanity writing person myself, but I just thought, hey, this is the time to do this finally. And it worked out pretty well, and I was pretty happy with that. I like short fiction especially because in many ways you can write it in a fiction way in terms of some action going on there, a lot of real poetic flourish and a lot of real literary strength to it all, but it could have some non-fiction type of meanings or even allusions that you wouldn't be able to get away with a nonfiction piece that you can get away with a fiction piece. So that sometimes that's a good way too, is you can dramatize something that you just didn't want to write in nonfiction that you can get away with fiction. Maybe it's a way to disguise something that you just don't think you can get away with otherwise. That's fine. But that's what part of art is all about, is to be able to communicate and do things in there that normally you wouldn't be able to do. Mainly because people in general are not very good about accepting the truth about lots of things. That's just, unfortunately, the human condition and some of our major flaws is we're not very good at doing that. So artists will get the blame for that, and they get beat up for that, they get targeted for that. When they're telling you that, you know, a prophet is not welcome, you know, in his hometown, that's what they're really talking about. You know, it's hard to talk about things that people are uncomfortable with or they might not like. In a form that they're expecting something else in, you know. I like the flash fiction, short fiction, because I think in many ways people are expecting already a kind of a dark element to it, a stronger kick to the gut, maybe a little bit more a blue attitude or blue language. They're expecting that. They don't expect that much in a short story. And you only can get away with some of that in a play too, by the way. So you get away and do a lot more, I think, especially on things that might be considered controversial or considered basically not for polite conversation or whatever. You can get away with that, and that's fine, because that's another good use for art. As long as it stays art, I mean, like I tell people all the time, it's one of the big things I preach. It still has to be art. Still has to be poetry. Still has to be fiction. Still has to be drama. You can't put 57 political things in there. And when someone says, hey, this is not working for me, the first thing you do is you're calling them a name. You should call yourself a name. Propagandist would be a good name for you. Because until that becomes art, that's all you're doing is propaganda. And that's not helpful, whether it's religious, political, or otherwise. I'd probably say 75% of the stuff that I have to reject is based on content. It's not based on talent. Not based on the poem just stinking. It's because somehow, I don't know, somebody found God 5 days ago, and now they're an expert on all spiritual things in the universe, and they have to, like, pump me over the head with it 400 times, you know, in a poem. That's not a poem, okay? That's just some slosh, you know, that you're getting out there. If that's really what you believe, go on a corner and talk about that, or run into a church or a concert hall or whatever, and blow that out and get it over with. But don't try to put it into art and call it art when it's not. Okay? It doesn't mean that art can't have a political sensibility or even a religious feeling to it all. Because it can. But it still has to be art first and religion second. Art first and politics second. In many ways, art first and you second. That's how that has to work. Because it's art. It might be a vehicle to carry other things. That's great. But just like any other vehicle, there's somebody that has to steer it. And that's called art. Everybody else in that car, they're just passengers. But the art has to be the person that's driving that thing. Otherwise, you're off to a mountain someplace. Next thing you know, you're in the ocean. And then weird sharks are eating you up. Which is what I hear on news every other day, it seems like. Shark here, shark there. I even wrote for the first time a shark piece. I got picked up by a wonderful journal out there in Singapore, and it was called the Irony of Shark Teeth. And I wanted to talk about something that I normally couldn't talk about in a nonfiction piece, and that's it. That's the reaction of a town. And I'm not trying to ape anything from Jaws, because something similar happens. But, you know, that's so Hollywood. They make it everybody's a bunch of evil idiots or something just because they want to keep the beach open and the guy's running on that he has commitment to the business and so much that they have an investment. Those are actually all very valid things. But they you know, in Hollywood, they always screw everything up. You know, they make things so black and white that you never have any reality in it, you know? Now, there is a reality about someone wanting to keep a beach open, even if there's a shark attack, or if there's too many out there, they're not sure what to do, especially if the fishermen want to still fish, they don't want to, you know, have all that shut down. And imagine if you're in charge of all that, how you got to figure out how to weed that out? You can't shut everything down so you can get a shark or two. You know, I mean, you might not be able to get them, there might be too many. There's so many things that go on in those decisions. So I wanted to write a story a little bit about that. And the ironies of all of that, you know, it's like maybe Jaws come to reality or something, but that's important. And that'd be harder. I think it'd be much harder to do in a nonfiction piece, because then you have 1,000 people criticizing you. Oh, you only care about business. You don't care about people. Or you have another group. Why don't you care about the sharks and not worry about what the people say? And they're so afraid. That's why life is so complex and art can be helpful. But life is so complex because people don't like the truth, because the truth has so many facets that they don't want to acknowledge. They only want to acknowledge the couple pieces of truth in there that makes them comfortable. You know, but in that scenario, guess what? Everybody in the scenario is right at the same time. And no one wants to hear that. The environmental people, they're right. We can't go around slaying sharks every 5 minutes. I mean, it's important for the ecosystem for them to be out there. The fishermen are right. They're making a living that. They're making a living on touring. They're making a living on fishing. I mean, they have a living to make. And the politician running the town, they have promises and things they're trying to keep the business going, because that's how towns like that survive. You think about a town like that based on a beach. You know, they're not making any money in the wintertime. No one's out there like surfing in January, okay? You know, and I'm just talking about like on the East Coast United States situation. There'll be other beaches that, you know, the summer and the winter can be inverted, like Australia. You know, summer is like October or something. You know, we're, that's just about the beginning of winter for us, where those towns would be closed already. But the same point is, the town itself is almost like a part-time community. They're only going to make their money in so many months of the year, and the rest of the time, that's they don't have a lot going on. So why shouldn't they be concerned about those months where they're making their livelihood maybe for the rest of the year? Those are valid. It's certainly valid also for the people swimming that they don't have their children eaten by sharks. That's certainly valid too. So that's what I'm saying. Life and truth can be very complex because oftentimes all the parties involved are right. They all have something very valid to feel and to express. They have to all get together to figure out some kind of compromise to get everybody, you know, to be able to get something out of it. Sometimes that's possible. Sometimes I'm not. I don't really know what all the answer is to that. I do know that all of those things are valid. And that's what art helps us with. And I know short fiction especially helps in something like that to kind of not make everybody to be some kind of enemy. You know, they can't all be a bunch of, you know, wet towels over everything. All those stupid tourists, all those stupid businessmen, all those greedy politicians, all those blinded fishermen, all those evil sharks. I mean, it's idiotic to think like that. It really is. Because those are all important factors and things. And I like that. That piece came out well, and I was happy with that. Much, much harder to do with a nonfiction piece because you gotta put so much stuff out there. That, I mean, it just becomes a long, wind-bagged thing that you're not even sure if you can convince people. A lot of times you convince people with a short piece of fiction, kind of get to the heart of what's going on a lot easier and get people's attention. Because remember, more times than that, people have less attention in the span than they used to between, you know, television and streaming now and movie theaters, you know, and e-books and just video games. They got smartphones. There's so much stuff going on right now that can take up a person's attention. I mean, people don't even read newspapers so much anymore. They just read stuff on the news that's on the internet. So it's... That's really the life that we have right now. So imagine you have a chance to maybe be in front of some of those people. Your 1,429 word, you know, short fiction piece. It might be the ticket to get someone to hear or understand or learn something that you might not be able to get them to do otherwise. And that's a really important, I feel, utility for art and short and flash fiction. Really. Play a big role in that if people want to get more involved in it. Oftentimes, because I did this, and I know there's a lot of other writers that do, they will graduate from poetry. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to abandon poetry, but they'll go on from poetry, you know, into flash and short fiction. And that's fine, because you can use some of your knowledge of the brevity, and you can also feel that, wow, I don't have as much constraints, I could do more. And that's a wonderful creative feeling to have, and that's usually why it's a good way to start from poetry and then go into fiction. But don't forget, fiction, especially short fiction, does have to have some kind of point of view. It has to have something it's saying. It can't just be, you know, a lengthened poem or just some thought you add a couple of sentences to. It's got to have a life in a way, something that's standing on its own, saying, look at me, I'm a short fiction. That's a poem over there, and over there there's a play, I'm a short fiction. I mean, I don't want to make it comical or sound like some, you know, PBS thing, but that's what it has to be. It has to be able to stand on its own and do that. And that takes time. It takes a lot more rewriting and a lot more work you'll find doing a short fiction piece than most of the other things you're writing. But it's worth it, and it becomes a real joy, especially if you can get something, you know, heartfelt or something that really moves people or really says something that normally hasn't been out there. This is what I like to do. I like to try to write things that just not been out there before. I think it's interesting to do that. It feels like it brings more purpose to that genre that you have adopted for a while, but by doing something that you just don't see out there before. You know, and I really thought that was an exciting thing, and it's still an exciting thing that brings me to short fiction. I don't write as many as I used to, but I've written a great deal, and it's still a part of you know, my arsenal of artistic, you know, endeavors is, you know, do I need to whip out a poem? I need to do Pulp Fiction? Do I need to play? You know, you do a lot of them out over the course of time. And then you want to be able to do that and understand that sometimes you might see or feel or even dream things that you just know is not going to fit into this thing. It might fit into that thing. That's why I encourage writers, whenever it's possible, you know, to try to go into another form, to try to go into fiction, or try to look at nonfiction if you think you can do certain things, or maybe even a short play, but try to find some other things that you might be able to express other things, because oftentimes, and this is not very well known or talked about a lot, but, and I haven't spoken about it before. I had a show on writer's block, but we haven't really talked about this interesting angle. But I've already come across a couple people. I don't know a percentage, okay? So I'm not going to tell you that this percentage is this. I just know that there's been examples out there of writers that I've talked to that it turned out that they didn't have writer's block. You know, they had like a, almost like an artistic constipation, meaning that the poem wasn't going to work for what they were trying to say. They needed to go and do something bigger and better to get that out there. And the flash fiction or the fiction itself, it worked for that. Or there might be other things they could work for too. So keep that in mind. If you ever feel you have some real bad, frustrating writer's block, it could mean that you need to be looking at other areas of art to express that. It's really, if you think about it, it's really short-sighted to automatically assume that everything you ever want to think about and talk about and do, it can always be done with a poem and that's it. That what you're really saying there is, you know, your limitations, your hope's going to work inside the poem, but poems can't do everything. They can't. They're not made to do everything. They have certain purposes and that's that. All right, so don't let your own limitations, you know, hurt your art. It might take longer. Maybe you just need the challenge to go out there and do it. It could take months to get a good short fiction piece out there to get it done really well. It could, because when you're new to it, it takes a while. But when you make the breakthroughs that are necessary, it'll become just like anything else you're doing. But that'll be another thing that you can now use, another vehicle, you know? My leg hurts, so I don't think I can fit in a small car. I think I need a bigger pickup truck or something. It's like that. You got to go what's going to fit you, and that's going to be comfortable enough for you to go forward. Well, if you can't fit in the Volkswagen, you might need something bigger, okay? It's the same thing in art. And I think that oftentimes people get that artistic slash emotional constipation, and then they wonder why they're in blockage. Well, that's what constipation is, folks, blockage. And you got to unblock it. Well, you got to do something different to do that. So it's not a bad way to look at it, even if it sounds a little gross. But I find that's the case sometimes with people, that they don't really have a classic writer's block. They simply need to go on to something different to fit what they're trying to get done. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, that's something you learn to acknowledge, and then you can use fiction, or maybe other forms, but you can use fiction sometimes to help address that. And I think that's another wonderful reason for short fiction these days to exist, you know. I'm going to say something that might sound pretty, like, far out there for people, but I've always felt, especially in the last 30 years, that flash and short fiction in many ways has kept writing going, because the poetry wasn't doing it for a while. The academia just don't know what they're doing, and all they want to do is, you know, publish poems that sound obscure or talk about the three problems that people in suburbia have. And the rest of us don't really care about that. So that's not really addressing anything. That hurts poetry. Where short fiction, it just opened the door for something new to happen, and people made it something grand and wonderful and unique, even sometimes mysterious. But the important thing is it didn't have to knock on the academic door. Hey, check me out. It kept on its own until academia realized this was something we have to address now. This is something we have to get involved in. And because of how fantastic the form is, You'll be shocked to notice that some of the flash fiction that the academic journals publish is pretty damn good versus the poetry, which is usually horrible. So it's just amazing what their tastes are, but it could just also be too that, you know, this form itself, it allows for a whole lot more, where unfortunately, you know, academia has still, you know, I feel strangled poetry in many ways, just made it some English exercise and you know, esoteric knowledge or something. Please make it something more than that, and maybe one day they'll do that in poetry. I'm not going to hold my breath, though, because I'll be the biggest, you know, Italian smurf on earth. But at least with flash fiction, they are understanding and they're starting to do the right thing. Hopefully that transfers to other things inside academia. And love for them, because they could be such a force if they would just get their heads out of their butts. But, you know, until then, they're gonna receive my criticism because they richly deserve it. Now, let's just do a quick recap over here, okay? We talked about flash fiction being somewhere between 250 to like 600 words. That's generally the, you know, the range. Remember, it could change based on a magazine. It can't change too much, though, okay? You're not going to see a magazine say, we want something up to 6,000 words and we consider that flash fiction. You're not going to see that, okay? They might play a little with it fast and loose, but they don't go extreme, okay? Oftentimes, if just the short fiction is like 750 to about 1,500. You know, in aerial chart, I'll take a short fiction up to 3,000 words, because I don't feel it's a short story still. It's still pretty short in my book, you know. So I'll do that, and I've done a few like that, but not too many, but there's been a few. But those are the general rules on that. They tend to have not a flatter sense. It's just they concentrate on a few subjects. Oftentimes, you know, in a dramatic type of fashion, and sometimes even poetic and dramatic as well. But they're a real savior to the arts, and they're real an exciting form. And I hope to see a lot more people get more and more involved in it. You know, if I've been thinking about maybe doing some sort of a annual contest for aerial chart, and if I do, you know, I would include fiction as well as poetry to see what we can really get out of that. You know, as I still find it is pretty exciting. All right, folks, until next time, our next episode in this series, the last one will be about what is writing. I know it's going to be a strange general coverage of everything, but I'm going to get some mileage out of it, believe me, and it'll be interesting. All right, folks, this is Mark Anthony Rossi for Strength to Be Human. I want to thank you very much for joining us, and God bless.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.